We have with us Detective Steve Loomis with the Cleveland Police Department. He is a past president of the Cleveland Police Patrolmen's Association, and some of you are familiar with him being on the radio on our sister station 1420 with Bob France and other programs, I believe, and he is going to be weighing in with a view from the policeman's perspective on what issue one is about and some of the dangers there. So tell us a little bit about yourself as well.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm a Cleveland police officer for 25 years. So nine of that I spent as the president of Cleveland Police Patrolmen's Association. That is a full-time and a half job. There's no doubt about it in the day and age that we're in right now. So before that, I was a six-year veteran of the United States Navy.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you very much. We deployed Operation Desert Storm. I have four kids. We live in the city of Cleveland. You know, we haven't abandoned ship at this point, and we plan on staying there. So, and three beautiful grandkids.
Oh, very good. Grandkids are always great, aren't they?
Grandkids are better than the kids.
You can always give them back.
Well, very good. I'm glad to have you with us tonight, and we're going to weigh in. And Detective Loomis, what is issue one as you understand it?
Issue one, first and foremost, it's a constitutional amendment, which in itself should be problematic to people because you have a legislative branch that creates laws,
right?
And this is just doing an end around on the legislative branch, so that in and of itself is a problem. But what issue one is going to do is immediately release 25% up to 25% of the prison population under the guise of we're going to save money and we're going to get these folks treatment, you know, assuming that they're all drug addicted people. Well, there's not. I mean, there's people that have burglarized houses that are going to be released, people that have robbed people that are going to be released. Sexual predators are going to be released under issue one. It is just an absolutely insane idea. Not only that, but it also reduces the penalties for future people that we catch committing crimes, that the police catch committing crimes. It's going to be very, very difficult to convict somebody of a felony when they break into your home, when they are dealing drugs, fentanyl. 19 grams of fentanyl will be a misdemeanor under issue one. 0.002 grams is enough to kill you and to overdose you. So you could literally kill 10,000 people with 19 grams, and that would be a misdemeanor crime in the state of Ohio if this thing passes. It's just absolutely atrocious. It's going to create more addicts than we already have. And ground zero for opioid addiction is Northeast Ohio. I was invited to the White House, and we had a meeting with the president and his staff there, and we discussed it with the president of the United States and with General Sessions and with Dr. Ben Carson, and it's terrible. It got this way because of ignorance, I would guess, or just plain old burying your head in the sand under the watch of Marsha Fudge and Sherrod Brown and the leadership in this part of the country. So it's absolutely atrocious. We have to do something other than just straight up release prisoners and not charge them accordingly. Now, we can do prison reform in a bunch of different ways, but this bill is absolutely going to, it's not going to save any money. It's going to create more, it's going to put more stress on our resources, our first responders. There's going to be more addicts. There's going to be more drug dealers. Drug dealers are going to be flocking into the state because there's not going to be any consequence for their drug activity anymore. So it really, from our perspective, it's really just a terrible idea. It's going to put us all at risk. It's going to put more stress on the limited resources that we have. If somebody calls with a drug addiction, a drug overdose, in the city of Cleveland, you send a fire truck, that's four guys. You send an EMS wagon, that's two guys, and a police car. We can't do any more with any less. And so stressing that situation by passing issue one is just a terrible idea.
Now, looking at it from your perspective as a police officer, as somebody who's out there dealing with the very real effects in the real world, not only the effects on the drug user, but the families of the drug users and the people they impact. Is somebody has a problem on the street, they're driving, you know, they impact the drivers around them, or they rob somebody someplace in order to get the money to feed their habit. If issue one, which I want to point out to our listeners, is an amendment to the Ohio Constitution, this is not just a bill passing a law. This is an amendment to the Constitution, which makes it very difficult to change. But if this were to pass in November, and let's just hypothetically say that it did and it goes into effect January 1st or whatever, what would you see starting in January from your perspective?
Well,
what do you think?
They would first and foremost, they would release prisoners. They would let's not beat around the bush here. This is an attempt to reduce felony convictions to misdemeanor convictions. So under the guise of making things safer. So what we would expect to see and what we will see, there's no doubt in my mind, I've been doing this a long time, what we will see is 25% of the prison population being released very quickly out into unsuspecting society. You're going to be putting drug addicts that are in prison back into the exact same environment that created their addiction to begin with. And they're going to say, well, we're going to save so much money. Well, there's no indication at all that they're going to save any money. There's no mandate in issue one that the money that's saved, if they can even calculate it, is to be mandatorily used for increased addiction-type services. So you're going to see an increase in the use of these illicit drugs, especially the opioids, the fentanyl, that's really big in Northeast Ohio. And like you said earlier, you're going to see an increase in the crimes that come along with those. That's a $100 to a $300 a day habit that you have to support somehow. Once you're addicted to that, that is a huge monkey to get off your back. And you support that by first stealing from your family until they can't take it anymore. They're heartbroken and they cut you loose. Then you're stealing from your neighbors. Then you're stealing from businesses. And then, you know, eventually you're going to graduate because things are going to get so bad in your life. You're going to graduate to crimes of opportunity, which do include violent crimes of opportunity, just to support that habit. So this notion that drug addiction or the people that they're going to let out are nonviolent is ridiculous. If you've ever seen anybody overdose, it's very violent.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking to the families. It's heartbreaking to law enforcement. You know, we are tired of picking these folks up off the ground and seeing the damage that it does to the families and to the community and to the resources. So if you do something that's going to increase the drug addiction by attracting drug dealers into the state, which it absolutely will do, if there's no consequence for their drug dealing behavior or for bad behavior, then of course, what's a kid do if you don't slap his hand when he puts it in the cookie jar? He's gonna keep eating the cookies, right? You know, so that's what we anticipate seeing, and you know, my experience shows that that's absolutely what's gonna happen. There's just no upside to it, and don't be fooled by the guys that this is gonna make Ohio safer, because it absolutely isn't. It's gonna increase and amplify the problems that we already have with the opioid addictions. 19 grams of fentanyl is enough to kill. Overdose almost 10,000 people. That's one drug dealer can get caught with that, and that is a misdemeanor.
Twice in 24 months.
Before you even have a possibility. Then the other thing that it does is it takes the power away from the judges. We have some tremendous, in Cleveland and Cuyahoga County, we have some tremendous drug courts, and part of sentencing includes mandatory treatment and includes post-release treatment as part of probation. That's all going to go away because you're not going to end up in Cuyahoga County Court because it's a misdemeanor. So it's going to take the power away from the judges to really reach out and have at least a chance to help the folks that are drug addicted. So there's just no upside to it. the people that are proponents of it, you know, Richard Cordray should be ashamed of himself. He was the Attorney General of the state of Ohio and allowed this to ramp up to the critical problem that it is in Northeast Ohio. And for him to support this, or Steve Dettelbach, or Sherrod Brown, and supports it with his silence, Marsha Fudge, this was on her watch.
Yeah.
You know, just absolute ghosts. Absolute ghosts. Now, you might hear a little bit from them, but up to this point, you haven't. You know, and that's completely unfortunate. And I'm very proud of Beverly Goldstein, and I think that she's doing it for the right reasons. Where these folks, the folks that are in there now, just aren't.
Yeah, and we're going to have Beverly Goldstein weigh in on this in just a few minutes here. But one of the things, too, before we do that, is I was going to ask you, you're talking about how some of these people are supporting it, and you see some of their ads, and it's along the lines of, we're going to get them into some kind of recovery program, some kind of helps program for people struggling with addictions. Now, you're talking about bringing all these people out of prison, plus the people who are coming into the drug habits, you know, because there's new people coming in all the time as children grow up and they start getting turned onto these drugs. And so,
especially if there's no consequence.
Yeah, no consequences at all. And so, obviously, all these people are just going to just waltz right into the recovery programs because they were told, well, you know, we can't put you in jail or anything, but you need to go to the drug recovery program. Yeah. What happens if they don't?
Nothing.
And so,
absolutely nothing.
From the practical standpoint, as a police officer with many years of service on the streets of Cleveland, how many, realistically, percentage-wise, do you think will go into these recovery programs?
Right now, as it sits right now, voluntary recovery programs have a 17% success rate for the people that go into them, which is just a microcosm of the people that really need to go into them.
Right.
You know, you have to hit rock bottom. Life has to be so drastically changed that you have to want to go into those programs. What we see when people go to prison for something, go to jail for something, is at least in jail, they have an opportunity to clean up, you know, get all the drugs out of their system. If we can approach them while they're in prison with these same treatment programs, guaranteeing that they're not relapsing, you have an incredibly different outlook and outcome in those situations. And then you throw in some training, get them a job certificate or a GED or something like that. I don't think anybody would have a problem commuting sentences and reducing that felony conviction to a misdemeanor so they can come out and be productive.
Yeah.
That's what we all want. Yeah.
What do you think this will do to the drug courts that we have right now? Will it help or hinder, or what kind of effect?
Well, it'll destroy them. There just won't be any because the you're never going to get people up into the county court. There's not going to be any violations of state drug law because it's all going to be misdemeanor, except for the most, you know, if you're over 19 grams of fentanyl or cocaine or
third time you get picked up.
In the third time you get picked up, yeah, well, how many, if you get convicted three times, how many people have you overdosed, you know, with 19 grams of fentanyl? When 19 grams will do 10,000 people the wrong way, you know, so the drug courts are going to be non-existent or non-effective for anything other than the misdemeanor. The muni drug court might be okay, but it's just going to be overwhelming. And then on top of that, the property crimes and the crimes that are associated with drug use, I'm a detective in the 3rd District. I investigate shootings, violent crimes, pattern crimes. I never start out investigating any drug cases. My group doesn't do that. But every time that we're investigating a violent crime, it always leads back to drugs. Always. You know, so for anybody to suggest that this is a nonviolent, these are nonviolent offenders, or this is a victimless crime, you hear that a lot. Victimless crime. It's not a victimless crime. You know, the families are paying.
Yes. I've
counseled. It's just heartbreaking.
With people, yeah. I've counseled with people who are struggling with family members that have addictions, and something you said about them going into the prison where, at least for a time, they can be allowed to get cleaned up. And and I've had family members who have said, you know, I would like them to be in prison because I know they're going to be safer there than on the streets. And they worry when they come out because they're going to get their friends, so-called, come along and right back into the same old habits.
Right back into the same thing that caused the addiction to begin with.
And issue one will do absolutely nothing to cure that and takes away some of your strongest tools in the law enforcement community and in the courts and such not, takes away some of your strongest tools to get these people the help that they need.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
And give leverage over them to see that they commit to it. Because right now, like you said, they tell them to go into drug rehab, and if they don't go, nothing happens. You have no leverage.
Yeah, nothing happens. Yeah. They violate their probation, and maybe you get a, you know, you have to go to the city jail for a few days or something, but nothing significant will happen.
For a lot of them, city jail's nothing. We got a few minutes before the bottom of the hour break here, and you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, talking with Detective Steve Loomis of the Cleveland Police, and we're talking about Issue 1. We also have in the studio with us Dr. Beverly Goldstein, candidate for Congress in the Ohio House District 11 for the U.S. Congress, I should say. And we're going to get her in here more on the second half. She's been kind of quiet here in the first half, but we're going to focus more on her in the second half. And we've got a break coming up here in just a couple moments. One other thing, as a detective, as a police officer on the streets, and you said that you don't necessarily start out dealing with the drug crime, but for those that do, what would this do to their ability to find the people who are the suppliers and things like that?
Yeah, if there's no consequence for it, you know, right now you get a street-level drug dealer, and it's a felony crime, and you can apply some pressure to them to give you the next guy up. That's how the investigations work. Then you get that guy, and he'll give you the next guy up the ladder. And that's how these very successfully investigate drug crimes.
Yeah.
You always start off with the little guy, the dealers on the street, the corner dealer, and even the user. You get the user, he'll give you the corner dealer. You get the corner dealer, he'll give you the next guy up, and that's how it works. With issue one, there's not going to be any of that.
It's all gone, huh?
It's all gone. You know, you're going to have to rely on the federal agencies, the DEA, the FBI, ICE. You know, everybody wants to get rid of ICE. That's crazy. You know how much dope those guys get at the border?
Yeah.
You know, that's another thing that's just that I'm very proud of Beverly for not supporting the, you know, dismantling of ICE and open borders. You know, it's just.
Yeah. Well, and people forget we are a border state.
Absolutely.
We are, because Canada, and we have listeners and we have some folks that call from Canada on a regular basis. It's right across the lake. And midway between New York and Chicago, we're a crossroads of the nation.
We're right in the middle of everything.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, we could go on for a couple more hours on this issue.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.